Welcome back to 770 CHQR and More Than Money. And we have a reoccurring guest, a member of the Forge First Asset Management team. In fact, the CEO, CIO, Andrew McCreath is joining us today. Andrew, we've had you on the show many times. Last time we brought you on here was in the fall of last year, kind of giving us a Q4 review. And you know, with what's happening in the markets, with what's happening in the geopolitical scene, let's start off with what's going on in year to date, from January till the end of the first quarter. What have you seen happen? And then let's kind of take it to the next step. Is what are some of the ongoing concerns?
Okay, well, welcome to. It's great to be here, Faisal. Thanks for having me on your show once again. I think to answer your question, I'd like to start my response by taking listeners back to our last conversation, when at that time, during 2021, I expressed the opinion that policy accommodation, be it fiscal stimulus, or more importantly, the printing of money by central banks, had peaked last Labor Day, and such that we were going to see rising interest rates and a reduction in the liquidity that central banks provide into the marketplace. And as a result of that reduction of stimulus, specifically on the monetary policy side, it was going to become increasingly difficult for the pricing of all financial assets, be it bonds, stocks, or ultimately real estate, were going to become increasingly challenged. The rate at which they become challenged was going to be a function of a couple of variables. Specifically, how bad was inflation going to get? Was it going to force the central banks to hike interest rates faster and more aggressively? Clearly, the quicker they reduce the amount of liquidity in the system, in other words, the amount of money sloshing around, combined with how fast they increase interest rates, is very germane to the argument about the outlook for financial assets. What has happened since our last conversation is, of course, the Federal Reserve Bank of the United States, led by Jerome Powell, has, you know, ripped up the word transient when he talks about inflation. They now admit there's a big, big problem. And as a result, they're poised to increase interest rates at a far faster pace than anyone envisioned several months ago. That's not good for stocks. And that's been the driving force for, I would say, January into mid-February. When we got into late February, obviously we had that invasion of Ukraine by Russia. And that variable has had a multitude of impacts when it comes to the pricing of financial assets. Obviously, from the perspective of humanity, it was a travesty and remains a travesty. And I don't want to belittle the pain, the suffering that families in Canada and, you know, who have members in the Ukraine are enduring. But we're here to talk about financial markets right now. And so when one looks at financial markets, the war has had a couple of effects. It obviously has had a materially positive impact on commodity prices, whether it's agriculture or energy. And it also has significantly aggravated the ongoing supply chain problems, which of course makes it challenging for food manufacturers or industrial manufacturers who have been sourcing parts from regions of the world over there that they just can't actually get the parts for anymore. So as we look forward here, the pace of rate hikes and the forced reduction of the amount of liquidity floating around the system continues to be incredibly relevant to the outlook for financial markets, but it now has this second variable, the war, which when you put the two together, in my opinion, Faisal, it makes it pretty tough for financial markets, specifically stocks, to have a positive outcome over the next 15, 18 months. And we have not been at a juncture like this for many years where investors have to have active advice and management. Buying an ETF is in my opinion, going to be a ticket to lose money. And so active advice is of paramount importance at this juncture.
Just want to confirm one thing, Andrew. Are you saying next 12 to 18 months negative performance on the major indexes, let's call S&P 500 TSX?
To use one word, yes.
So when you're looking at your portfolio, now we've been working together for years. You've got two mandates. One is more conservative than the other that we've talked about in the past. When it comes, the beauty that you have is the ability to go long and short. When you're looking at that kind of a mindset of potentially a negative performance in the basic indexes of S&P 500 TSX, how the heck do you make money or protect yourself during that time using the tools that you have in front of you?
Well, it's a good question. And I guess I'd like to initiate my response by saying that I believe it's going to be a very difficult period of time for investors to make money by owning bonds or owning stocks. In other words, you and I would call it being long only, where you know you have $100 and you go out and buy $100 of bonds or $100 of stocks, and you're not short anything or you're not hedged in any way. And we'll talk about shorting and hedging. The reason I believe that is because of the impact of those two variables that you know I mentioned to you in my long answer to your involved first question. Simple fact of the matter is rising interest rates means the price of bonds go down. And then when one looks at stocks, clearly rising interest rates negatively impact the valuation of a company's profits as it relates to its stock price in the marketplace. And you know what? It's always possible that we have a recession too. And that's not going to be good for stocks either. Why? Because if we have a recession, the profit forecasts for companies will be reduced. And you know, falling earnings typically isn't correlated with rising stock prices. Okay, so how do we do it? Well, we're not long only. What Forge First does is we go long and short publicly traded companies in North America. We are focused on free cash flow. So we buy companies like Tourmaline and CNQ or Microsoft and Google, names like that. We're buy and hold investors. And these companies generate gobs and gobs of free cash flow. When one looks at the return of a security, it's constituted by the alpha plus the beta. In other words, when oil prices go up, the share price of CNQ, Canadian Natural Resources, is likely to go up. When oil prices go down, the price of CNQ is likely to go down. That is what's called beta, the movement in the price of the security that's correlated to the movement in the market or the movement in the commodity price that drives that company. Whereas alpha is the movement in the share price that is attributable to company-specific factors, companies changing for the better, changing for worse. So our job is to identify companies that we think are going to generate gobs of free cash, and we buy those or we go long those, and then we short companies that we think either are going to have deteriorating fundamentals, alpha, or we may short some lousy oil companies or tech stocks where we think that that will enable us to hedge out the market risk or the beta from what we own on the long side. Our funds, which limit our small cap stock exposure to no more than 10%, and we've defined a small cap company as $1 billion in market capitalization, so those are still pretty big companies. Only 4% of our book is in small caps. We don't buy private companies at all. And as I said, we're buy and hold investors. So we complement our book with a lot of what are referred to as listed put options to further hedge market risk. So we have quite a bit of protection on our books to complement what we own on the long side of our portfolio. So quarter to date, late last week, we ended the first quarter. our long short alternative fund was up about 5.1% net of all fees. US markets were down, the Canadian market was up about 3%. Our long short fund was up about 5.1% net, but arguably just as important, Faisal, the fund didn't do this. The fund just did this, steady Eddie. Why? Because how we construct our solutions for your clients is we hedge out the noise, we hedge out the market risk, we hedge out the beta and make money from our alpha selections.
We've been joined by Andrew McCreath, and I'm going to keep him on for one more segment coming up after the break. We're going to talk about that big R-word recession and what does it mean for portfolios? What does it mean for people who are transitioning to retirement and are just basically looking at the overall index or a passive way of investing? And we're going to talk about these types of issues and concerns when it comes to bulletproofing your retirement at our upcoming seminar on April 26, 7 p.m., live in person and online. We're going to be doing this at the Carriage House Inn. You need to register for this. Go to morethanmoneyradio.com. Okay, after the break, we got Andrew, recession, and your portfolio. Join us after the break. You're on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.